I'd like to begin with just a short reading from the 14th chapter of Revelation, and I want to read verses 12 and 13. Revelation 14, verses 12 and 13 to begin with. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And it would be my objective tonight in this lesson that the Lord would use me, and that he would use tonight what little bit that I might be able to say to encourage us as his people on our way. Because serving the Lord, if you really strive to serve the Lord, it's not always easy. And I don't find anywhere where the Lord ever even indicated to us in any way that it would be. And so I hope that we can find some things together tonight that might encourage us. I believe that we need to try to be an encouragement to each other. We don't need to discourage each other, but we need to try to encourage one another as we serve the Lord together. The title of my lesson this evening is Crossing the Finish Line. And as it's already been said, many of the brethren that have stood up here and taught throughout these series of lessons have made reference to the lessons that have been taught by other brethren. And I have felt very blessed in our winter Bible study this year. I feel like we've heard some wonderful lessons and looking at different aspects of this theme of crossing the line. And so tonight I want to speak about crossing the finish line. And I think when we look at the title of this lesson and scriptures like these from Revelation chapter 14 and others come to my mind, and I suppose that a lesson of this title, with this title, couldn't be complete without looking at some verses of scriptures like these that I have read from the book of Revelation. But I also want to consider these verses and read just a couple more verses from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And might just spend a few moments talking about the race, running the race. And of course, one thing that we know about a race is that whether it's a foot race, a car race, a motorcycle race, a long distance race, or a sprint race, one thing that every race has is somewhere it has a finish line. There is a goal, there is an objective, and that is to run the distance that is necessary to complete the race. And so I certainly, in my younger years, I was not into racing. The only sport that I really competed in very much was when I was in school, I was a wrestler. And I did learn, though, in that I believe the same concept that you would learn in competing in any type of sports activity, in any type of contest, and that is that you have to keep your eyes on, you have to stay focused on what you're trying to accomplish. And so someone that's running a race, they're focusing on that. They're focusing on running the race and making it to the point where the race is finished, where they cross the finish line. And so in these verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer said, after we find what we do in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that tells us of all these great accomplishments of people that exercised faith in God, it says, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And our focal point is mentioned in the next verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so as we run the race, we need to be careful that we are looking, always looking, in the right direction. Now, one thing that I do know about people who race, I know my daughter, when she was in school, she was on the track team and she was a sprinter. She ran short races and they tried to run for 100 yards or 100 meters as fast as they could. And one thing that I always noticed in thinking back to that is every time I went to watch her race, all of those girls, when they came out of the starting block, they had their eyes fixed forward. They were not running like this, or they weren't trying to look behind them or looking to the side, but they were looking straight ahead to where they were running to. And that's what we need to do as we run this race for the Lord. We need to stay focused. What we look at or who we look to is going to make all the difference in the world as to how we run the race. And we have the greatest inspiration out in front of us, looking to Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on Him, because I'll tell you what, if you're not running the race for Him, then you're running it for the wrong purpose anyway. If you're not in the race to honor God and to praise God and to give God the credit for everything that we do, then we're running it wrongfully anyway. And so I would to God that we as His people, that it would be our objective as we travel our course, as we run our race, that it would be our objective to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and press toward the mark. That's what we need to do. We need to press toward the mark. And I know this concerning laboring, and anybody that has ever physically labored certainly understands this concept. And the Bible speaks about that, this in many places, and I'm not going to go through a bunch of verses, but you'll find this in the Scriptures. If you want to go and study it out, you'll find this to be true. One thing about laboring, and we read in the 14th chapter of Revelation here about those that would one day rest from their labors. And you know as well as I do, when you go out and you put in a hard day of laboring, what's something that you look forward to? You look forward to a time of rest. You look forward to the time when you can end the labors of that day and you can rest for a while. You can rest your body and get ready for the next day. And so those who labor, and I believe this is true, whether we're looking at it from a natural standpoint, and it's certainly true when we're looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, those who labor look forward to rest. And in order to cross the finish line, and one very simple point that I wanted to make in this, in order to cross the finish line, what do you have to do first? You've got to be in the race, don't you? I mean, you've got to be running the race in order to cross the finish line. So we need to take heed to what the Hebrew writer was telling us here, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, with Him being the focal point, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's a lot of things, the devil has a lot of things that he will use to distract us as we run the race. And he would have us to be looking this way, or to be looking that way, or to be looking behind us, or to be looking down. I believe that somebody that was trying to run a race, if they ran that race looking at the ground all the time, I think sooner or later they're going to stumble and fall. And if we, as we run the race, if we don't keep looking in the right direction and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to get off track. We're going to get off track. So we need to take heed to what he said here. Let us lay aside the weight. And that's something else that I never have seen. When I've gone to see somebody run a race, if somebody wanted to run a short race or a long race or whatever it is, you watch, when that person comes out to run, they are as light as they can possibly be. They don't generally wear the heaviest of clothes. They wear light clothes. And I never have seen anybody come out to run in a race and be carrying 200 pounds of barbells on their back. That's going to slow them down naturally, isn't it? And so as we run the race, we are to lay aside every weight, every obstacle, everything that would be a hindrance to us, lay those things aside, and the sin, which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us with our eyes on the Lord. I like the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious grace." Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." And so if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to be able to accomplish running the race with patience. But without that, we're going to run with weariness. And we're going to run unsuccessfully. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose that it would be my desire tonight to stress that point. If I didn't get anything else across in the lesson, as we travel through life as God's people, as we travel our course, as we run our race, we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to stay focused on what He has left us here to do. Amen. Too many times have God's people taken their eyes off of Him, and they're out of the race. They're out there somewhere doing things that don't profit anything at all. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as the people of God, we certainly need to be determined. I mean determined. We need to purpose in our hearts and be determined to stay in the race all the days of our life. Finish our course serving the Lord. But when we think about that, when we think about crossing the line, crossing the finish line, even though that ultimately happens at the point of death, I don't believe we're forced to consider that that's the only way that we cross the line. And I want you to think about this, that thought with me for a few moments. Because not only do we need to be determined to continue in the race until the day that God takes us out, until the day that God calls us home, but we need to understand and realize that we are running this race on a daily basis. If you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus speaking here, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And since the Lord Jesus instructed us to take up our cross daily, then doesn't it stand to reason that we should look back and reflect on our lives and our service to God on a daily basis? Not only to look back at the end of our earthly life and ask, "Did I carry my cross?" But to look back at the end of each day and ask yourself the question, "Did I carry my cross today?" Not only to look back and reflect upon our entire life and ask this question, "Did I run my race for the Lord?" But to look back before you go to bed tonight, when you get home, folks, tonight, before you lay down to retire, to rest for the evening, ask yourself the question, "Did I run the race today? Did I run it today? Did I cross the lines today that I needed to cross? Did I accomplish what I needed to get finished for the Lord today?" Jesus, I love that account in Luke for that very reason, because it was in that account that he said, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Go home tonight. I heard it put this way one time. You may lay down this evening to rest, and if you could think about it in a physical sense of carrying a big cross on your shoulders, and perhaps for a little while taking that off and laying it down and getting in your bed and getting some sleep, knowing that early the next morning that cross was going to be there for you to pick up again and carry it the next day. And so we need to take up our cross daily, and we need to run the race daily and follow the Lord. I want you to consider with me for a few moments these statements, one made by Jesus and one made by Paul. In John chapter 17, verse 4, we have record of this statement made by Jesus while he was praying. He said to his Father, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And we know that this was before Jesus went to the cross. It was before he gave his life to purchase our redemption. Before he had ever done that, he said, "Father, the work that you gave me to do, it is finished." Now the Lord had crossed a line, hadn't he? He had crossed a finish line. And you know, honestly, I don't know if I can tell you tonight what all was included in that statement that Jesus made to his heavenly Father. I'll tell you what I do believe. I do believe he was talking about having finished the work of establishing his church. I have finished the work that you sent me here to do. But as I said, this was before he had gone and made the sacrifice there on the cross. Now, if we look in John chapter 18, verse 30, we have an account there of another time when the Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing, and this was when he was on the cross, when he was making the sacrifice. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. If we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And again, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul made this statement before he was actually put to death. I believe that it had been made known to him that the time was near, that the time was drawing very nigh, that he was going to be put to death, that he was going to be martyred, that he was going to be offered in that way. And so he writes to Timothy, and he says, "I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." Now, I believe that it would have been, well, let me say this first. I believe that, no doubt, it brought Paul great peace and great consolation. When he came to that realization, when he had reached the point that he knew that his life was almost over, that he knew that he wasn't going to have very much time left or very many days, I believe, no doubt, it was very consoling and brought great peace to his heart to be able to say, "That's all right. I have finished my course. I have done that God asked of me. I'm finished." I believe it would have been very disturbing to Paul when I read about him, knowing the type of man that he was, knowing the zeal that he had for the Lord and for the Lord's work. I believe it would have been very disturbing to Paul when he realized that that time was close, when it was made known to him that his death was near, if he would have had to say, "It's time for me to die, and I'm not finished. I haven't done what God asked me to do. I haven't been obedient to God. I haven't gone on that mission that the Lord some time ago asked me to go on. I haven't fulfilled that work. I shunned that. And I disobeyed God and I didn't do what He had me to do." And folks, listen, we need to do everything we can as we draw near the finish line that we can look back and we can say, "Well, that's okay, you know, Lord, if you're ready for me to go. I've tried to do what you had for me to do." The fewer regrets, the better. Amen? Amen? The fewer regrets, the better. So Paul, I believe, found some peace in that he had finished his work. So we need to run each day. There are finish lines that we need to cross before we cross that final one. God may give you a task that you need to finish today. He may give you a task that will need to be finished in a month or a year or perhaps a decade. And when you cross that finish line, and this is how I feel about it. When we're serving the Lord, when we're doing that for God, when we're trying to do the Lord's work, we ought to be willing to complete it. Willing to do it until God says, "I don't want you to do that anymore. I'm ready to move you on to something or someplace else." Until that time, we ought to strive to do it. And, you know, I believe this can happen in whatever capacity you may strive to serve the Lord. Maybe as a Sunday school teacher or church clerk or what have you. We need to do that as long as God would have us to. And if the Lord doesn't want you to do it anymore, don't do it. Perhaps it's time for somebody else to take it up and to carry on. And so I do believe, as I said, that this can... this can apply to all of us in whatever way that we serve the Lord, but I do want to spend a little bit of time here because I do believe this is especially true for those that God has called into the ministry. In Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24, Paul said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." With joy. "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul wanted to finish his course. Paul wanted to run his race. He wanted to complete the work that God gave him to do. And obviously from the scriptures that I read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he did. He did. He expressed his desire that he wanted to finish it, and he made the statement that I have finished it. I have finished my course. Paul's course took him on a lot of journeys, a lot of different missions, and I want us to look a little bit further at one of them. This is also from Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to have to hurry along here, but I do want to read these verses beginning with verse 17. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. As ministers, especially as the ministers of God, if we're going to stay on course, we must be willing to follow the Lord wherever he leads us and labor in the field of his choice. That includes going when he tells us to go and leaving when he lets us know that we have crossed that finish line. Let's look for just a moment in summary at Paul's work at Ephesus. I made note of five things that Paul mentioned when he called the elders of the church at Ephesus there together and spoke to them before he left. I made note of five things that he mentioned while he was among them. He served the Lord with humility. Won't work any other way, will it? We'll never please God trying to serve him with pride in our hearts. Paul served the Lord with humility. Listen, brethren, he kept back nothing that was profitable unto them. If we're going to be able one day to say what Paul did, I believe we're going to have to be obedient to the Lord in that which we preach. If God gives it to us, we need to preach it. Paul kept back nothing that was profitable unto them. He taught them repentance toward God, faith toward Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the truth to them there at Ephesus. When he was done, he felt the peace of knowing he was free. I'm pure, he said, from the blood of all men. He commended them to God. And isn't that where God's people have always been anyway? In God's hands. In God's hands. Paul labored among those, and then when it was time to leave, he commended them to the safe keeping of the Lord. He left when God told him to leave. That's what we need to do. We need to go when he says go. We need to stay as long as he says stay. And we need to pick up and go when God tells us to leave. And we ought to be careful not to let anything distract us from any of those things, but that our ministry would be under the leadership of God and that we would obey him. I'll tell you what, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble not going where the Lord tells you to go. And you can cause a lot of trouble for the people of God staying when God tells you to leave. And so we need to be willing to do all of these things. In conclusion, I want to encourage everybody in this tonight. However that you, in your own way, however that you're serving the Lord, I want to try to encourage you all in this. As you run your race, as you travel your course, I want you to consider these thoughts and these scriptures. Love God with all your heart. You'll never serve him effectively if you don't. If there's anything that means any more to you than God, you'll never serve him effectively. Love God with all your heart. Love God more than you love anybody or anything else. Didn't Jesus say that was the first and great commandment? That we love God in that way? And that's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Gladly assemble with the saints. Psalm 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know why, you know, I can't figure out for the life of me why there's so many people that hold membership in our churches that just they don't want to show up very often. You know, come to church every once in a while seems to be fine with them. I don't get it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't really want to understand it, honestly. I hope I don't. We ought to, you know, I believe it was Brother Lowe one time, he was making reference to somebody years ago that joined the church here at Fairview Memorial and gave this testimony. He said, when I joined the church, I signed up for all the services. That's what our attitude ought to be. Serve the Lord, love Him with all your heart, gladly assemble with the saints, reverence and obey God. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Tell others what the Lord has done for you. Psalms 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hold fast to the ways of truth. As you run your race, as you travel your course, hold fast to the ways of truth. Jude verse 3 says that we ought to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Keep running. Keep running, brothers and sisters, because the finish line is just ahead. I love, I don't do a very good job of it, but I love to try to serve the Lord. I told the church a couple of weeks ago, when I stand up here to preach, I come up here sometimes and I'm nervous and I'm apprehensive about things, and I know what it is that I'm handling, and I don't want to misrepresent it in any way. But I'll tell you what, when I feel God begin to help me, when I know that God is here and God is present and the Spirit of God is helping me, there's nothing I'd rather try to do. I love to serve the Lord. And, you know, I want to serve Him all the days of my life. And you know what? When He's finished with me, I'm going to be content to cross that finish line and go and be with Him in the place that He has prepared for His people. And I know that God will give us a wonderful rest. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, from henceforth they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Thank you for the song, Brother Strode, because I'll tell you what, if you spend your life serving the Lord, you're going to leave something good behind for those that follow after you. You will. If you spend your time for the Lord, you'll leave something behind that will benefit somebody in some way. I'm thankful for our Bible study this year and for all the brethren that have taught in the Bible study this year. I'd like to ask Brother Strode if he would lead us.